Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The baptism of Jesus is one of the relatively rare events that all four Gospels report. There are some important distinctions in how they tell it, but all four do tell the story. And in Matthew, you get a sense of what an awkward story it is. I mean, after all, if Jesus is the Messiah, and in Matthew there are no angels or shepherds announcing him as such, just some wise men from the east who come to pay their respects. But if Jesus is the Messiah, why in the world would he need to be baptized by John? Or by anybody else, for that matter? If Jesus is the Son of God, why would he need it? And if he doesn't need it, why does he do it? How could it benefit him? I think part of our difficulty is the way we modern Americans tend to think of baptism. Most of us, when we think of John the Baptizer, think about repentance. We associate that and connect it to the forgiveness of sin, the axe at the root of the tree and the burning fire and all of that. But I would connect it a little bit differently. I would connect it with the Greek word epiphaneia, which means appearance or manifestation, and from which we get our word epiphany. To be revealed, in other words. And I make this connection because epiphany, and really repentance too, when you get down to it, both words suggest awakening. In other words, the beginning of a new way of being rather than the end of an old way. In Matthew, Jesus' baptism marks the beginning of his ministry. Today's gospel concludes with the pronouncement, "Behold, this is my dear Son in whom I am delighted." Matthew knew the Old Testament prophets well, and he drew on them often. So it's not surprising that these words sound so much like God's words to Isaiah in our first reading. "Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights, and upon whom I bestow my spirit." There's a lot more that we could say about how Matthew uses Isaiah to shape our picture of Jesus, but right now there's just this one thing. Jesus' baptism is not really so much about his being cleansed and purified, but about his being anointed for his upcoming ministry. Jesus is fulfilling all righteousness by embodying the story of Jewish identity. Matthew's already told us about his Jewish lineage. He has fled to Egypt. He has come back. And now here at his baptism, he symbolically passes through the waters of the Red Sea, just like his ancestors. From here, he'll go on to the wilderness to wander and be tempted, and he will eventually come to the promised land to which God has called him. "Let it be so for now," he says. His baptism reveals to him the people in a way in which they are, reveals him to the people in a way with which they are culturally familiar and to which they can easily relate, so that later they'll be able to see its truth as something transformative. Okay, so even if you consider that a full and satisfactory explanation of Jesus' baptism, there's still a question. What does that mean for us? Or to put it another way, does it mean to us what it ought to mean? While the day itself is usually an important event, our emphasis often ends right there. I don't know many parents who remind their children of the date of their baptism or celebrate it with anything like the attention that we give to birthdays. And I'm no exception to this. I know about how old I was when I was baptized, but I can't tell you the date or the exact date off the top of my head. And not only that, but I can't even tell you off my head the date my son was baptized, and he's just 6 years old. And that's in a home where things like that matter, me being a prospective preacher and all. But there are plenty of people who go through the motions of baptisms for the sake of tradition or for the sake of a spouse or a parent or a grandparent. People who don't really, or I should probably say people who aren't able to really appreciate what it is that's actually going on in it. Amid all our customary focus on baptism as a washing away of sin, it's easy for us to miss it as an overwhelming and empowering gift of God's grace. It isn't just a mechanism of forgiveness, it's the gift of identity, both for Jesus and for us. At his baptism, Jesus is given his identity. It's where he learns definitively who he is in relation to whose he is. His ministry proceeds from that gift, and everything he does is predicated on it. When Satan tempts him in the wilderness, notice carefully that it's his identity that the devil considers vulnerable to attack. He says, if you are the Son of God, then do this or command such and such. And it's by having a clear sense of his identity that Jesus is able to resist temptation and take on his mission. And that's where his story and ours intersect. Because we too can only live into the life God has called us to when we understand that we are also his beloved children. As with Jesus, in our baptisms, we discover who we are by hearing whose we are. Because in baptism, we are adopted into a covenant with God, and that covenant includes all people, and indeed all creation. Without it, we may be living organisms, but we're really nothing more than that. We're just evolutionarily successful biology, born to seek our advantage and thrive and survive if we can, without any real connection to each other or to the rest of life. And baptism is what gives us that connection, because through it, we shed our merely biological skin, or our fallen condition is what we used to call it, and we're reborn, joined to the body of Christ. In other words, we are named. And names are powerful things. Some are given to us, some we take for ourselves, some lift us up, many tear us down. We all crave a sense of identity, and there's so many sources nowadays from which we can be tempted to derive or construct one. Few of them are life-giving, none are redemptive. We live in a culture that promises us acceptance on condition, often tied to some product or service or some possession that we're encouraged to buy. Acceptance as long as we are blank enough, as long as we're skinny enough, as long as we're strong enough, or smart enough, or successful enough, or beautiful enough, or popular enough, 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 enough. Some names, no matter how long ago they were uttered, still dog our memories and haunt our sense of who we are. Loser, geek, fatty, others much uglier by far. But these names are not the names that define us. What defines us is the name given to us by God, because that's where God says, no, that's not your name. Your name is Christian, and I've marked you with my cross and bestowed my spirit upon you, and I take great delight in you, and you are my beloved child forever. Because to God we are always enough. He adopts us and makes us his heirs and does wonderful things in us and through us. And like Jesus, we are his sons and daughters in whom he's well pleased. Confession of sin is a time to remember that. Holy Communion is a time to celebrate it. The benediction is a time to go forth and live it. The peace of Christ is the empty cross. The work of salvation is done. And so eternal life is not something that comes later that we just wait around for, but something that has begun and which is ongoing. That peace is doing rather than just being. It involves participating in the proclamation that the kingdom of God is at hand. So in large part, the gift of identity and affirmation that we receive at our baptism is a gift to others through us. It's the call to each of us to let God send us from in here to out there so that we can help others receive the gift of their baptism and nudge all things toward the totality of God's love. We each have a baptismal responsibility to sustain each other and help each other listen for the whispers of the Holy Spirit, so that we may all become who and what God intends. Life is one long lesson in this. Life is one long lesson in love. God is in everything. His creation is ongoing. His activity is unceasing. His will is supreme. His love is eternal. All we have to do is inhabit that love as best we can, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day. We begin at our baptism, and all the rest is by the way. When we get up every morning, may we give thanks to God and pray, I am your beloved child, and I will honor that love by living as Christ loves the world. Amen.